This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call John Little at Malagana's Edwards Johnson.
Hit 104.7.
Ned, right now, there's a guy who has been setting world records left, right, and centre.
Okay.
His name's David. He's doing it to raise to promote STEM education. He's doing all these sorts of things for, you know, awareness.
Great reasons. Yeah,
it's
cool.
All sorts of different sorts of records. But he was trying to grow out his fingernails, all this sort of stuff. But here's
the
one.
Fingernails one's hard, yeah. Because I've seen the people in the Guinness Book of World Records and they're going like 37 years.
Well,
and
the
stuff.
Funniest thing for me is the fingernails one is relevant at the moment because Ripley's, believe it or not, have acquired the longest fingernails in the world.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah,
can you imagine what a weird office that would be to work in?
Yep.
And just hear all of a sudden, like you're just at your desk typing away and you're just from the other side of the room here. Whoa! We did it! We did it! And you'd just be like, geez, what? What, Jeff? What did we do? It's like, I got the longest fingernails. And you'd be like, oh my God! And they ring a bell or something in the corner of the office.
That's an exciting day at Ripley's.
That's an exciting day at
we've
Ripley's
acquired the nails, guys. They stink and they're awful, but we've got them. We've got this compacted hair that someone grew out of their fingers.
Put them on display.
Oh, that's so
and
funny.
And people will say, no, I don't believe that.
Oh, yeah. Do we have any in the office that doesn't believe what's just happened? Because that's the business we're in.
That's what their whole story is. Oh. Nah, that's crap. And there's some poor guy that spent 2 years trying to acquire them. Anyway, so what David's done, his record here that I wanted to draw some attention to, is he set a world record for stacking the most wet bars of soap on top of each other. And it's the old 32. Here it is,
32
bars of soap
even
on top of each other.
Are they wet or just bars of soap?
Oh, no, sorry. Wait a minute. I've read this wrong. Okay, so wait a minute. This is even better. So he set the record, 30 bars of soap in 1 minute.
Yep.
Then somebody else, who's nameless here in this article, stacked 32. And then David went, not on my goddamn watch, and stacked 34. So he got the world record back.
That's so funny. Well, the same
day. There's two people that have done this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. And that makes this point even better.
Yeah.
Because I think that is a stupid world record.
Oh, that's insane. Yeah,
it is.
So
why
dumb.
Would you spend time doing that, apart from raising awareness for things? But the other side of that coin is how much patience.
Yeah.
How much patience does this David guy have?
It's hard
and
enough.
Not just that, but the guy who broke the record as well, guy or girl, doesn't say, nameless.
It's nameless.
They're like a super force of patience. So any crisis that needs somebody to mediate.
Yeah.
Anybody that needs to be maybe told, like, you know, oh, we'll just do this with the business or we'll just sell this asset.
Yeah.
And they're fighting against the board saying, no, I won't do that. Yeah. I'm not going to watch this business crumble. David comes in.
Yeah.
Quite calmly and just has a bit of a chat.
Figures it
the
out.
The patience to listen to every side of the argument and just gives a verdict.
Yeah.
This guy could be like the
UN.
One man UN. This is fantastic. To stack 34 wet bars of soap on top of each other and not give up on that.
That's incredible.
And to keep persisting with it.
Honestly.
Superhuman patience.
In some weird dystopian future, I'd like it if David raised every kid on Earth.
Oh, amazing.
It's like you just said, you have a kid and then you send him to David and then when he's 18, you get him back. And you're like, God, you're well adjusted.
Maybe that's a bit creepy. So we'll just go with David at least has a YouTube video that you can watch about patience.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned,
mm-hmm.
Very, very simple story, and it involves hubris, the likes of which I've not seen in quite some time.
Well, I don't mind a bit of hubris.
There is a husband and wife, and the wife has been doing the absolutely amazing thing of every day making her husband like a lunch for him to take to work.
That's
which is
so
just
nice.
So lovely and so loving. And that's just, I mean, my mum stopped making my lunch for me when I was 10. She was like, you know how sandwiches work.
None.
And I was like, spot on, mum.
Yeah. Whereas I was my mummy's little angel. So
yeah,
I
know.
Honestly, I reckon if I asked my mum to send me up a lunch, she'd still do it.
I think it was the third chicken sandwich that came back not eaten.
Yeah.
And mum was like, well, I'm not doing this anymore. If you want a sandwich, you know where the bread is. You know where the chicken is. You push them together. That's
kids
how it works.
So gross. Because I used to like get the sandwiches that I didn't like. I'd hide them under my bed.
Oh, that is gross. Yeah.
And I know a bunch of kids that did that.
That's
so foul.
Did I tell you what actually happened? Because mum kind of got her revenge in one way one morning because
she gave you uncooked chicken.
No. Well, it's so close to that. But what actually happened was I wouldn't eat the sandwich.
Yeah.
And then I would basically leave it in my bag.
Yeah.
Mum would take the sandwich out of the bag, put the new sandwich in.
Yeah.
And just, that was fine.
Yep.
But one morning I came out and there was a sandwich sitting next to the bag, and there was a sandwich in the lunchbox. So I took the sandwich out of the lunchbox, put the sandwich that was on the bench into the lunchbox.
But it was the wrong sandwich.
Mum had already done the switch. Right. And so I ate a day and a half old chicken sandwich. Yeah.
You really do need to communicate.
It was so sick.
Yeah. You really do need to communicate if it's chicken.
It was the dead of summer. I was so sick. It was bad.
Anyway, this wife's cooking, making lunch for her husband. That's lovely.
It's lovely. But what the husband's doing is it just terribly, terribly rude, and is selling this healthy lunch.
Oh, this is the hubris.
To other people on the work site and then using the cash to go buy takeaway.
I don't blame. Well, look, no. I would love it because it's the love. It's like your wife's made you something.
Nice.
It's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I've done that plenty of times.
I did this as a kid all the time when it came to my lunches with a trade. Because what we were doing when we were in primary school, the lunchbox would always have like a little treat in it as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'd be like that yoga with M&Ms and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then another kid would get like a roll up. And so you'd swap the yoga for the roll up. Who am I kidding? You'd never swap that yoga for the roll up.
No way.
More the kid with the roll up would be like, could I have the yoga?
Yeah,
and you'd be like, this has a little sachet of M&Ms in it. Are you out of your mind?
This is two things.
It's only a roll up.
Give me your bag as well, then we'll think about it.
You have the yoga, I'll have the roll-up and the M&Ms. That's how that's going to work.
I want to tip them into the roll-up.
What I want to know right now, though, because this is the only time I've ever heard of an adult doing this.
Yeah.
I don't think trading lunches is a thing with adults. I think we sort of go, yep, this is my lunch, this is what I'm going to have. And the healthy option's got to be better every day. Like, that's part of it. She wanted to make his lunch at home so he could eat healthier. That was the whole thing, because he was having takeaway.
Yeah.
And then he's just decided to go behind her back and do this anyway, which is disgraceful. Yep. I'm not happy with that at all.
Yeah.
Agree to eat healthy together.
Yeah.
No good.
If this guy was five, fine, but then he wouldn't
He's
have a wife.
He's not five. So this is what I want to turn this back around and go, when you're a kid, did you used to trade stuff out of your lunchbox? 13, 10, 60, what did you trade it for? How much money would you get for certain items?
Yeah, because honestly, there were so many kids at my school that would get money.
Money to go to the canteen was the thing when I was a kid. That was like the thing you trade stuff out of your lunchbox for.
I completely forgot this, but there was a kid that I went to school with called Simon.
Yeah.
And he used to, kids used to buy stuff off him. The stuff his mum, because I think his mum worked at a canteen or whatever, he would bring pizza singles and brownies and stuff, and kids would buy it off him.
Simon now runs a food truck for a living. That's what he does.
I think Simon's actually unemployed.
Oh, okay. Well, with that kind of entrepreneurship, how? That's fantastic. That's amazing.
He's the thinking man.
131060 is the number to call. I want to know, did you used to sell stuff out of your lunch when you were a kid?
Yeah.
And how much would you get for certain items?
Yeah, what's the highest ticket item?
Yes. Brilliant.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. 4.7.
Brock's on the line from Philip. How are you, mate?
Wonderful. How are you guys going?
Yeah, good. Great. Thank you. Brock. Now, do you have a ticket item that you used to sell out of your lunchbox?
Yeah, look, I used to have a lucrative deal going back in the day.
Oh, my God.
The Yogo Grill and Mixers were like hot property.
Also, the exact one I was talking about, the ones with the M&Ms and the Yogo and the same thing.
Yep, and you split them and you whack them in. Yep. They were going for you could sell them for $5.
You're kidding!
$5.
I guess $5 is nice and round.
They're only worth $2.50 or something. And that's now.
But that's business, mate.
Yeah.
You put that money back into more yogos.
Supply and demand.
Supplying business. Exactly.
Brock, are you now a stockbroker by any chance?
I'm now a car salesman. Yeah.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
If you've driven past it recently, you've seen the old Shine Dome, absolutely restored to its glory. The roof is shinier than ever. I actually can't tell if it's finished yet or it just is pretty much finished because I drove past it last night and I was like, looking great.
Looking very shiny.
The sun was just setting. I was on my way to PJ's in the city to host trivia, which I do every Monday. You can come and join that. But I tell you what I saw, the sun beaconing off the top of the Shine Dome. And I went, that looks great.
It's dangerous.
Fantastic.
Do they get up there and buff it or do they just change
it? No, so they've put, because it's a heritage listed building, I didn't know this, Canberra's first heritage listed building.
Oh, wow,
what they did was they put more copper on top of the old copper.
Right.
So they kind of replaced the roof that was damaged in the hailstorm with a new roof. But the old roof's still there. So
I like that. It's like a workaround for the heritage listing. It's like, technically we didn't change anything. We just put another one on top of it.
We can take the new roof off.
Yeah.
It just looks crap now because it's all hail damage. Yeah. So keep the new roof on. That's what you want.
Yep.
But what the thing is that I'm very excited about this, because I always get around this when I hear that someone's done it, time capsule's been put in it.
Oh, okay.
A time capsule has been put in it.
Do we know what's in it?
100 years from now. We know quite a bit of what's in it. The Canberra Times has let us know that there's quite a bit of stuff in there. It says here in the article, history of the Science Academy, profiles of female scientists, a list of Academy Fellows. Plus also, Canberra Times have got a few front pages in there from throughout the year that have sort of encompassed some of the big stories like the pandemic,
right,
bushfires and the hailstorm, says here in this article. Now, this is fantastic. They'll be able to look. We had a pretty tough 2020. They'll be going, geez, things are a bit tough here in Canberra.
Let's not forget what happened.
But much like the Shine Dome, we've all stayed together as a community, put a new roof on, and we're shining into the future. I guess that's the metaphor. I'm all for it.
You've decided on it.
But one thing that is interesting, because with all of this good, and keep in mind, especially if you're at the Shine Dome and you work for the uni, I've been very positive. There's only one issue I have, which is with something they've put into the time capsule, and that is the genome sequence for COVID-19.
Yeah, why?
Because, I mean, it's a science thing. Yeah, so they wanted to show future scientists this is what caused the pandemic.
Yeah.
But it also it's like a little biological weapon in a capsule.
It's like a little blueprint of how to take down the world.
How to make a very bad virus.
Yeah.
I'm nervous about this, if for not to say that I'm so confident, hopefully, that in 100 years this will be such an insignificant problem that they'll be like, oh, yeah, we already know about this.
It doesn't matter.
We've
had
absolutely 100% effective vaccines for 75, 80, 90 years now. Mm-hmm. I just realized that meant I meant that there wouldn't be a 100% vaccine for another 10 years.
Yep.
Tomorrow. Let's say that's going to happen tomorrow. But this is... future people that unlock this won't think we're trying to harm them by giving them a virus.
Exactly
the
right.
The blueprints to a horrible virus.
Maybe that's it. Maybe we just write about how awful it was. I guess we need the blueprints so people... What about this? We put everything in there. We do it like... Write it down like a recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Except you leave out two ingredients. And then like two scientists to get told about different ingredients. So no one quite
Have
knows.
Have you seen I Am Legend?
Yes.
That's a terrible idea.
Ned and Josh on Hit 104.7. This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
A return news story. Got an update for you.
Hit me with it.
Man in Vienna who made headlines last year for farting on a police officer.
Yep.
And receiving a 500 euro fine.
Oh, that is a lot of money.
Yeah,
500
a lot of money.
Euros.
He has appealed that.
Mm-hmm.
And
I guess you should as well. It's like, so farting is such, like, at most you're like, oh, come on.
Let me give you exactly what's bizarre about that. That was the defense. That was essentially
it's like
the defense.
It's a fart.
Or it's a biological process, is what he's claimed.
Now, it must have been bad for the cop to be like, I'm handing you a fine.
Well, the Vienna police had to issue a clarification at the time that, of course, no one will be reported for accidentally letting one go once, is what they said.
Yeah.
But obviously, they pressed the issue because he, quote, let wind escape loudly, and they believe it was a provocative fart.
I mean,
it was after the identity check was done and all that. Yeah. So they believe he did it on purpose as like a statement.
Unless he's the human equivalent of Slimer from Ghostbusters, I feel like it's just something that happens.
In the appeal, my favorite part of this is the defiance, because he said that it was a biological process which would have amounted to freedom of expression even if it had been done deliberately.
Exactly right.
It's not often in an appeal you hear, I didn't do this, but if I did, I'd totally be in the right. That's a weird thing to hear. And then to hear that, but also have it actually work.
Yeah.
He's had the 500 euro fine reduced to a $100 euro fine. $100 euro.
You'd take
euros
that.
Are the dollars. Yeah. 100 euro.
100 euro? I would take that. I would pay that.
Down for 500.
500 is a lot. 100, that's like a funny story you get to tell people. Like, I got fined $100 for farting.
I would like to see now, though, because if I'm, honestly, it's pretty gross. Like, it's a pretty gross thing to have happen.
Foul.
Something
farting
near you on purpose. Yeah. So what I'd be doing is I'd be, if I was the police, putting exactly 499 euros worth of effort into a sting operation.
Yeah.
Which
catch
basically,
this man again.
I think the only thing you'd need to do to catch this guy admitting to his farting crimes in a sting operation is go to the pub that he's going to celebrate lowering the fine to.
Yeah.
Because the first time someone asks him about why he's day drinking, he will admit to partying on purpose on a police officer.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Yes. It is your chance right now to potentially be a very, 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 very lucky person and win the massive prize of the TikTok game. Now, this game, oh so important, Ned.
to know. It's incredibly important.
How to just calm your nerves a little bit, because obviously there's a lot on the line. This prize that we can't even tell you what it is. It's so amazing. All you have to do is get on the phone, 131060, and tell us what is currently on the TikTok biscuit that Ned has drawn out of the jar.
As you said before, it's got yellow icing. Maybe that'll help your intuition. I don't know.
Let me have one more look at the biscuit, please.
Have a gaze.
Yep, okay.
The camera will also see it.
Yes.
I have electronic evidence. I'll also have a look because I forgot. Yep, great.
Nice and above board. That's good news.
Everyone is accounted for except for Jacob from Casey. Good morning.
Hey, how you going?
Good, thank you, Jacob.
Pretty stressed, Jacob. Pretty nervous. How are you doing, mate?
Oh, yeah. Not too bad.
No, not too bad.
Really thought you'd play along then.
Jacob's a lot calmer than we are this morning. That's great. Jacob.
Yeah.
What time is on the TikTok biscuit, my friend?
I'm going to go with 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
The time on the TikTok biscuit that I have in my hand is 11 o'clock.
Oh, my God!
It's happened!
It's happened!
It's happened! With
my God!
With the most nonchalant caller we've ever had.
That's absolutely fantastic, Jacob.
Oh, my God.
And now to tell you what your prize is, Jacob.
Jesus, Jacob.
You know those giant inflatable, like, rubber gloves that you have that you can, like, punch the wall with and stuff? They're, like, big, like,
they're like
oversized
big boxing gloves.
Big boxing gloves?
That's what you've won, mate.
It's one of them. Yeah. Congratulations, Jacob.
You can also have the TikTok biscuit if you want it.
Oh, my God. That's amazing, my friend. Well done.
Oh, my God.
11 o'clock. The TikTok game has gone off for the first time in like 6 months.
More than that. I think probably 2 years.
Wow, Jacob.
That caught me so off guard that I forgot what the time was.
Oh, that's absolutely incredible, my friend. Well done.
Jesus. I'm actually sweating.
And Jacob's speechless. Yeah. No wonder you were so calm. He's like, yeah, I've got this in the bag. I know what it is. I'm, no problems at all. 104.7's Ned and Josh. You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7. Now, Ned, there's been a story in the US that, look, it's amused me.
Okay.
It's of a couple of small dogs chasing off a home invader out of a house.
Well, yeah, dogs, I think, freak people out because it's like the noise and it's like, oh my goodness, I'm going to get caught, whatever, whatever.
And this is where the story actually gets good because the dogs didn't scare a person off. They scared a bear off.
Oh, my God. Well, hang on. Let's get all of the breeds off the bat. Dogs?
I'm not 100% sure on the dogs, apart from that this article claims that they are small dogs.
Okay.
And very small dogs. The bear is like a full-on Californian bear.
Oh, my. So like a black or brown
bear. The one that's on the state flag for California.
So he's walking biggest through the back, and I think most aggressive one.
He's walking through the backyard. He's just enjoying it. I'm just taking, because there's footage now, so I'm taking a look at the footage. Yeah, that bear is huge. Mm-hmm. He's in the backyard. He's the size of like an outdoor dining setting. And these are, they're terriers. They're little terriers.
That's so funny.
And they've literally just chased this bear off, and it has bolted. Like it's gone, nah, don't want any of you guys. Yeah. You're scary.
I guess
it's a bear.
Because what do bears do? Like in terms of noise, like,
yeah. But like yappy little dogs.
Yeah,
that's the funniest thing too, though, is, and this is my whole thing with why I love animal documentaries so much. I don't think a bear knows it's a bear.
No.
Like it doesn't know that it could absolutely take these terriers.
Well, it's what they say about like if you stand your ground with a bear and like make yourself look big, it's like, well, geez, what's... Geez, you are confident.
He's not looking at the flags in California going, I'm obviously pretty cool because I'm on those flags.
I can take down like anything.
Yeah.
I've
seen The Revenant.
Yeah.
Leo won an Oscar because of me. Like he doesn't know that.
Exactly right.
So he sees these terriers coming out, as you said, making more noise than
animal
those sizes should be able to make.
Yeah.
And he's just bolted.
Yeah.
And these
poor bears.
Is what I find hilarious about this, but I actually want to turn it around, unless you have a pet bear. Do you have a pet that's just terrified of something very bizarre?
That's very funny.
Because, I mean, this is objectively silly. The bear could absolutely annihilate these terriers.
Eat these two terriers in one gulp.
Yeah, but he is still going, I'm scared of this. I'm just too scared of it.
It's too much. It's too much for me. That's so funny.
My dog really does not like 600ml bottles. So, like, you can hold up a 600ml bottle of Coke or Sprite or Fanta or anything, and she just kind of goes, just finds it disconcerting and walks off.
Yeah.
It works every time. We hold the bottle up, and she literally goes, and just walks off.
I don't know if it scares my dog. My parents, we got a newish dog called Coco, and I don't know if it scares her or if it just pisses her off, but making direct eye contact with her for ages.
Yeah, dogs don't like that.
She eventually snarls and goes like, And it's like, oh my God.
Because they see it as like a...
It's a dominance thing. Yeah, it's like, I'm staring you down.
They do not like it.
No.
So that's pretty normal.
Yeah.
The bottle thing, not so much.
Not normal.
Bears being scared of terriers,
not normal at all.
So 13, 10, 60, I would love to know, is your pet just terrified of something that to you doesn't make any sense?
It doesn't make any sense.
You're like looking at it, they get scared at the vacuum. It's not even on. Yeah. It's just in the corner of the room. They just look at it and go, not for me.
Yeah, that's
do
not
want
good.
One bar of that.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
You said that your dog, your family dog's scared of 600ml bottles.
Not cans.
What about the big bottles?
No, 1.25 litres are just a worse problem, to be honest.
Right, yeah, so the bigger the bottle. Yes.
Maybe I've got a really environmentally conscious Labrador.
Like, I can't believe this.
It's one-use plastic. What are you doing?
She just freaks out every time she sees a straw.
Yeah. Anne's on the line right now. Anne, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Jan. Thank you, Anne. Now, I believe you've kind of got the opposite of this situation with maybe a dog that could defend your house against a bear.
Definitely against a bear, yes. And I think I haven't seen this video, but as soon as you mentioned it, I thought, this is my dog.
So
he's
what?
a little Jack Russell.
Okay.
So you said terrier. I'm pretty sure we're talking the same sort of dog.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Sophia, she's 13 and she was the runt of the litter, so she is the tiniest Jack Russell you've ever seen.
And what kind of do qualifies her to be super brave?
Yeah,
What have you seen her do?
Well, my partner has an 18-month-old lab cross Staffy.
Okay.
And five times the size of this dog.
And energetic, I would imagine. Energetic as all hell.
Yeah, but she does not put up with any of this.
Yeah, great. That's brilliant.
She'll be like, there's a bone, the other big dog will come over and she's like, rawr, rawr, rawr. No, she has got no fear.
Yeah,
and I'm absolutely certain if something happened to me, she'd look after me.
Yeah, brilliant. That is absolutely sensational.
It's funny because it's like, you know, they say it's like, oh, you're all bark.
Yeah.
Apparently most of the time that's enough.
I love a small dog that calls the shots against a bigger dog.
Yeah,
absolutely fantastic. And especially when it's a Labrador because they just look sad. They're like, oh, yeah, okay, all right, fine, no problem.
Same with Great Danes because they're the size of horses. And when little dogs go off at them, they're like, oh, my God, what's your problem? Chill out.
I'm actually not enjoying this at all. Fantastic. Yeah. Well, Emma's on the line from Mawson. Emma, how are you?
Hi, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. You've got a Jack Russell that maybe also, well, does it sit at the same end of the scale?
Is it brave or scared?
So, yeah, he's a Jack Russell. On one end of the scale, he's protective as anything. My mum got Uber Eats and the guy lost his thong to Charlie.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
That's not good.
But if you so much as poke your tongue out at him, he'll absolutely flip and find the closest thing to hide under.
Really? So he's scared of, like, tongues. Is that right?
You blow a raspberry, but even if you just poke your tongue out, you'll register it for about half a second. Then just absolutely flip
That's
out.
Bizarre.
This dog's nightmare is a Kiss concert.
Yeah.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, here's the sitch. And I know you already know
please
the
don't
sitch.
Say that again.
Beep, 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 beep. Is that what she says?
No, just please say, here's the situation.
Okay, here's the situation.
The problem.
Just, what did Kim Possible say? Here's the sitch or what's the sitch?
I don't know. I never watched Kim Possible.
Well, that's a shame. Really would have helped me out right now. Here's what's going on in the office. We have a coffee machine here that is essentially a human right when you get to work at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
It's like I think the very least that work could do for me, other than pay me, is...
Which they do, by
which
the way.
Which they do.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's fine. And I could probably go... if I got up 5 minutes earlier, I could probably make a coffee at home. But I think a coffee machine at work is fine. It's nice and it's not that big of a deal.
Whereas I find it, as a non-coffee drinker,
to be
absurd that a business has to provide, like, essentially a food every day.
Yep.
Then why don't I get something?
Yeah.
Why don't the non-coffee drinkers of the world get to fill out, you know, like when you're in a hotel... And you can put what you want for breakfast and leave it at your door.
Yep.
Why don't we all get like a little set of options?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I would like a banana every morning. And that has to be here.
Someone drops a fruit
around
you.
That's a human right for me.
Now, I will give you an answer to your question. Not that it was really a question. That's two words.
Yeah.
Assorted creams.
Ah, yes. Yeah. No, I have been enjoying the assorted creams to the point where they stopped buying them.
Yeah, they stopped buying them because you're eating so many. Anyway, there's a coffee machine at work. But what happens every single time, because we don't currently have a receptionist, is that no one really checks if the coffee beans are being refilled.
Yes.
So we'll buy like 6 bags of coffee beans, we'll pour them in, and then we'll get to the last bag. And for whatever reason, the person who empties the last bag will go, It's not my job to tell anyone in the office about this. Someone will just figure this out.
Because they're an asshat.
Yeah, exactly.
And
right.
I know that's someone I work with. And if you're sitting there going, geez, Josh,
that's
calm
a bit
down,
mean.
Mate. We work together.
Yeah.
Well, then look in the mirror and go, yeah, no, I did that. Yeah. I am acting like an asshat.
I know that if it was up to me, I wouldn't do that. Yeah. I would send an email. Anyway.
It's like emptying a thing of milk and putting it back in the fridge.
It's like, exactly like
you
that.
You know what you're doing.
And it's so easy to just send a message. Anyway, that's happened again this morning and I'm furious. But last time this happened, I devised, and when I say devised, I stole it from Nige.
Yep.
He would take one of the coffee bean bags out of the box and hide it in his...
Oh, tremendous.
I won't say where it was because if anyone is listening, they'll steal it.
Oh, they'll steal it. Oh, yes.
It's hidden somewhere in the office.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a great idea. I'm going to do it myself because if I do it, then
that's
we'll
fantastic.
Have two bags. And we need it the most.
And so
us guys who get up early in the morning need it the most.
Explain to Canberra what happened.
Much like a squirrel who like stores his nuts somewhere for the winter and then forgets where his nuts are, I've stolen a coffee bag. So there's one less in rotation. And then I've lost it. It's somewhere around the office.
So you've lost your spare coffee bean stash.
I've lost my gold reservoir of coffee beans. And now I, trying to solve a problem, have made the problem infinitely worse. Because now instead of having like six bags, we only had five. And now I've lost the one that I've taken.
And as things often do, this has come full circle. And in fact, you are the arsehat.
I am the arsehat.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast.
There's been a theft in the US. A $1,000 reward has been offered from a restaurant in Wisconsin looking to get back their giant rooster. So they have a giant rooster out the front.
It's not a red rooster.
No. It's a rooster with a chef's hat on.
Right.
Which, I mean, does that suggest that rooster helps...
Cook his own. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think you can eat rooster. We've already had this debate before.
I don't know if you can eat rooster.
I don't.
I think you eat chicken.
I remember we had this fight on air, and I can't remember, but I remember being right.
Okay. Well, look.
Also, that you could ask me about any argument I've ever had, and my probably recollection was I was right.
It does sound about accurate but, to how you remember your arguments.
That's pretty grim for a chicken.
Super grim with the hat on. I don't like it. Yeah. I don't want this rooster to come back. I hope they've lost him forever. I'm not endorsing theft, but I don't like the idea. I also don't like Louis the Fly.
Yeah.
He's like almost encouraging products that kill his own. It's weird. It's very strange.
Because he dies in every single ad.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, but he obviously doesn't because he comes back. So it's obviously Hollywood trickery.
Louis
the Fly doesn't actually die.
Yeah.
In the interest of talking about giant things, I just wanted to bring some attention to something that I saw on my road trip that I went on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the Hume and I was around Gundagai and... what do you do when you're around Gundagai? Well, you better stop in and see the dog on the tucker box.
Of course.
Because he's there, he's sitting on his tucker
box. He's very proud, might as well.
And you know what I enjoyed about seeing the dog on the tucker box that I've never seen before? People had their dogs there taking photos with the dogs on the tucker box like he's some kind of dog god.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
And one of the dogs was like a blue. He looked like the dog on the tucker box.
Right.
And he was sitting there right in front of me, had a little bandana on, and he was like, hell yeah.
Very cute.
It was like he'd gone to like Graceland and that was a statue of Elvis or something. He was very excited.
Yeah.
And he took a great photo. But there's like a health food chain that's like just down the road from the dog on the tucker box. And that's fine. I mean, great. Capitalize. There are people stopping. You might as well get yourself some cash. But much to my, I'll say it, outrage.
Chagrin.
They've got a giant koala at the front of the health food store.
You can take
photos with.
How big?
Bigger than you, stacked on top of you twice.
So like,
double your height.
12 foot.
Yeah, well, no, it's a little bit smaller than that. But
still, that's huge. That is pretty
big. You stand inside of, like, because he's, like, got his arms, like, outstretched.
Oh,
and you can actually go inside and stand in his arms.
Yeah,
and so it's a great photo opportunity.
Cute.
The dog on the tucker box is, like, 200 meters away.
Yeah. It's not fair.
How's the audacity of we've got an iconic side of the road statue,
that's true,
but we're going to have a crack with our own giant koala?
Yeah.
That's amazing to me.
I just would wonder what the crossover audience is. It's like if you went to, this is the first example that came to mind, but if you ran a service station and the only two icy poles that you had were Golden Gay Time and Frosty Fruit.
Yes.
Not getting a lot of crossover.
Well, one's an ice cream, one's an icy pole.
Well, then there you go. But these two frozen confectioneries, yeah. You're not getting a lot of crossover, because I think the people that want frosty fruit aren't necessarily the people who want Golden Gay Time. So maybe there is a koala audience that was longing for something,
kids.
And they had to settle for a dog.
Let me be very clear. Yeah. I know who this is for. It's for kids. Because okay, the bronze good. Dog on the tucker box, for a child, isn't that exciting.
Very boring.
So the thing here is, and I know this mm-hmm. because I was with my best friend at the time, who is a child, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I took him to see the dog in the tucker box. Yeah. He'd never heard of it.
Mm.
And then we drove down the road. He saw the koala. He was like, stop the car! Stop the car!
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
like, you know what? This it's is disgraceful.
That was the Ned and Josh Podcast.
John Little, your Canberra Region Workers' Compensation Lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.